It is Friday, January 20th, 2017, Inauguration Day in the United States, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Coming up, it's now officially President Donald Trump.
Today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
We will discuss the presidential transition with VOA's national correspondent Jim Malone and White House correspondent Cindy Sain. Also, we'll take you to Moscow. VOA's Daniel Sharp is standing by with insight into how Russia is greeting the new U.S. president. All on today's International Edition. Donald Trump has been sworn in as the 45th president of the United States.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Joining me in our studio in Washington, VOA national correspondent Jim Malone, and at the White House, VOA White House correspondent Cindy Sain. Before we begin our conversation, let's hear what the new U.S. president said about what he sees as the situation he faces as he enters the Oval Office.
For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country. Their victories have not been your victories. Their triumphs have not been your triumphs. And while they celebrated in our nation's capital, there was little to celebrate for struggling families all across our land.
VOA national correspondent Jim Malone, to grab a phrase from part of my religion anyway, what marks this speech different from all other speeches?
You know, I think it's bluntness, Ira, and it's brevity. There was no pretense here to go after rhetorical flourish. That's often the case in inaugural addresses. This was a sharp-spoken, sort of a riff off the campaign that we saw from Donald Trump. He is carrying this now into the Oval Office. It was very much a speech talking about enough talk. It's time for action. Talking about the problems America has endured in recent years. American carnage was the phrase used at one point. And very bluntly talking not just to Americans, but to people around the world at one point saying, we are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city and every foreign capital. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. Only America first.
Well, that really doesn't differ from what he said during the whole campaign, does it?
It doesn't. And I think his supporters who came to town in the hundreds of thousands were thrilled to hear that. It's like he was speaking their language. This was the group that got him elected. He was very much speaking to them in the inaugural address, but historically, new presidents also try to broaden their appeal and outreach, and sometimes even make specific mention of critics, opponents, those who were defeated. After all, Hillary Clinton was there on the inaugural platform, but I heard no such specific references to that. He did make a few veiled comments about bringing the country together, but it's very much an action plan, a call to action, and a call to deliver on his vow and campaign pledges.
Cindy Sain at the White House, it does look like the White House is going to change its tone a little bit, does it not?
Yes, that's right, Ira. There really couldn't be much of a greater contrast to President Trump's remarks painting a very dark picture once again, as he did during the campaign. He talked about people trapped in poverty, rusted out factories, people gangs and crime and drugs stealing the lives of so many, and as Jim said, American carnage. And what struck me most is, as you mentioned, him saying that from this day forward, it's America first, and it will be buy American, hire American. So it's a protectionist trade policy that he's advocating, and it's a foreign policy which doesn't mention about U.S. alliances with the rest of the world or sort of any kind of democratic or soaring ideals, but it's more about we're not going to seek to impose our will on anyone else.
Yeah, well, let me interrupt you here, because most of the now president's address did deal with domestic issues, but he did address how he looks at relationships ongoing with other countries.
We will seek friendship and goodwill with the nations of the world, but we do so with the understanding that it is the right of all nations to put their own interests first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. We will reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of the earth.
Cindy, what's your reaction?
Well, I think that saying that we will eradicate Islamic terrorism from the face of the earth is going to be a very hard thing to actually accomplish. And I think, you know, presidents are often a little more careful about that. But I did think about Hillary Clinton sitting there and former President Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama, and I thought that the comments that he made saying, you know, we're going to take the power away from Washington and give it back to the people, it was a bit cringeworthy for the former administration people and Democratic candidate who were sitting there.
Jim, is Donald Trump going to be able to carry out what he promised? And he promised a lot immediately.
He promised a lot, not a lot of details, though, and already, you know, in the transition period, signals of possible compromise or, you know, willing to bend on some details. But we simply don't know. I think we should brace ourselves for a lot of activity right away, particularly on the area of undoing some regulations that Barack Obama signed into law through executive order. A lot of these things can start to be undone through simple signing ceremonies at the White House by Donald Trump. But look, you know, you know, when presidents come into office, it's always important what that first speech is. And this was no beating around the bush. This was like, we're getting right to the point. In fact, we don't even want to talk very long because we want to get to act. And he's basically saying what his focus is going to be. It's much more inward looking. This was a domestic-oriented speech because Donald Trump was elected for domestic-oriented reasons, particularly as an agent of change. And I think that line about we're transferring, you know, power from Washington, D.C. to the people, I mean, and that brought up a big rise in the crowd. I mean, that's sort of the centerpiece of what he's now come to do.
Now, what happens now, either one of you who wants to speak up on this, that the nomination hearings are underway, and most of the people who Donald Trump has nominated to members of his cabinet are from the old school, and at least old school in New York, financial, or old school Washington politically.
That's right. It's going to be very interesting to see how this play out. And one of the first things that new President Trump did was to sign some orders in the U.S. Capitol. One order that General Mattis has a waiver that he could be the new Secretary of Defense. And you could see that President Trump had a very amiable sort of banter going on with a Democratic Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer, and also with Nancy Pelosi. So that was interesting to see that.
I think we've just lost Cindy's telephone line.
Yes, I'm still here. Sorry.
There we go.
Can you hear me?
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. that he had a good and amiable relationship with Democrats already on the Hill. So that will be interesting to see if the rhetoric matches the actions.
That it is. And Jim, what do you expect to see immediately? You already mentioned that. He didn't mention Guantanamo. He didn't mention Syria. He didn't mention a lot of places and a lot of things.
No, because he didn't talk about those things during the campaign. He talked about jobs, the economy, rolling back Obamacare, undoing regulations, working to make the country more friendly to business and industry. And that's what we're going to see. Look, this primarily spoke to his base of supporters. That's a little bit of a departure from most inaugural addresses, but it tells you where he's going to go. I think we're going to see a bulldozer in town for the next few weeks.
Jim Malone, Cindy Sain, we thank you very much for your input and information as always. This is International Edition. We go to Moscow now, from where VOA Moscow Bureau Chief Daniel Scharf joins us. Daniel, thanks for being with us. What's been the reaction so far to this swearing-in of now President Donald Trump?
Well, the Kremlin certainly is hoping that relations are going to be improving between Russia and the United States under President Trump because of the comments that he made during his candidacy, not only about wanting to improve relations between the two sides, potential cooperation fighting against terrorism in Syria, but also some of the very strong words of praise that he had for President Vladimir Putin personally. So certainly they're hoping for a change in relations here. But we've also seen a kind of a drawing back of some of the high expectations that initially flooded into the Russian state media and from some Russian officials here when Trump was elected in November. So there is kind of a gradual realization, both in Russian state media and among Russian officials, that not only is the relationship going to be more complicated than simply improving, but Trump is not the only voice when it comes to U.S. politics. He has to deal with members of his own political party who are opposed to some of his positions, as well as the opposition party in the United States, the Democrat Party. So it's going to be very interesting to see how things move forward between Russia and the United States on many issues of contention. And relations, of course, have been at their lowest level in years since Russia's involvement in Ukraine. Whether or not that's going to change under President Trump is a big question.
Well, I'm going to ask you to speculate here, which is a dangerous thing to do, but I promise you I won't take a tape of it and bring it back later. But what do you think might change immediately in U.S.-Russia relations now that Trump is in office?
Well, certainly the Kremlin is hoping that President Trump would lift some of the sanctions against Russia, that he would want to engage directly with Russia on some of its core areas of interest, not only in Syria, but also when it comes to Ukraine, when it comes to Europe and defense of Europe, the NATO Western Military Alliance, U.S. Missile Defense Shield. These are all issues that Russia is concerned about. It feels like it's being surrounded, contained, and it wants to be able to show that it can negotiate some wins for Russia. So certainly that's what they're hoping is going to happen here in Moscow. What's more likely, I would say, would be these two leaders arranging at some point to have a sit-down where they go over what's realistic, given the political situation, not only here in Russia, but of course in the United States, what kind of power Trump will actually be able to have, and what kind of blowback you would get from his own party and other political powers in the United States, of course the Democrat Party, if he made any kind of drastic changes in U.S. policy. U.S. allies, of course, is a huge issue. How much wiggle room does he actually have, even if he wants to negotiate on some of these issues, when it comes to U.S. allies in Europe? And, of course, Ukraine is really not interested in negotiating with the Kremlin on issues of its own sovereignty for understandable reasons. So it's not going to be an easy road ahead for any kind of real improvements in U.S.-Russia relations. I think we'll see a lot of rhetoric, but whether that can really translate into substantial changes anytime soon, I'm quite doubtful.
I did not ask you about those reports of Russian hacking and the intelligence community in the U.S. saying that this indeed has happened. Does this factor in at all to the opinions being held and whatever actions might be taken now that Mr. Trump is in office from the Russian government?
Well, certainly the Russian authorities denied all accusations of hacking, of doing anything against the U.S. political systems or involvement in trying to shape the outcome of the U.S. Presidential election. At the same time, it has to be said that this kind of attention, according to political analysts, is exactly what the Kremlin likes to see, being put on par as a major world power capable of hacking into a U.S. election, influencing U.S. politics. So it's been quite interesting to see the way this has all played out in the state media. They haven't shied away from the denials, but at the same time, there's been a I think there's also a sense of pride to some degree that they're being accused of such of having such sway and such power and capabilities of potentially shaping the election results of the wealthiest, most powerful country on the planet. So it's been very interesting. We'll see how that shapes out. In terms of President Trump's own acknowledgement that Putin was involved in trying to hack the election, I don't anticipate that it would make dialogue between these two leaders any more difficult than it's going to be. It will, of course, be shaped by their own personalities and what they expect to get out of the talks that they, at some point, will probably be having.
VOA Moscow Bureau Chief Daniel Scharf. Thanks so much, Daniel. Among the top stories in the world, the United States has a new president as Donald Trump has been sworn in. Gambia's army chief says he now recognizes new president Adama Barrow as the new commander-in-chief and will not fight a regional force poised to depose Yahya Jammeh, who's refused to step down. So far, 10 people now have been found alive in the debris of the avalanche-struck Hotel Rigopiano in central Italy. The Mexican government has extradited drug trafficker Joaquin El Chapo Guzman to the United States. He faces trial in New York this afternoon. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on the voanews.com website and on our VOA mobile app. This is VOA. At least one group of protesters resorted to vandalism as it moved through downtown Washington Friday, shortly before President-elect Donald Trump was sworn in. While peaceful protests took place elsewhere in the U.S. Capitol, dozens of anti-Trump protesters swept through the city center, breaking windows, overturning trash receptacles, and setting off firecrackers. These protesters, dressed primarily in black, were carrying signs reading slogans like "Make Racist Afraid Again." Some carried signs promoting anarchy. The protesters were diverted by riot police who hit them with pepper spray. Demonstrators interviewed by reporters said they fear the Trump administration will be more extreme than other administrations, and the protests were acts of resistance. A few blocks away, Trump supporters chanted USA, 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 and the president-elect arrived at the Capitol to be sworn in. This is VOA.
VOA Special English, a way to learn American English and much more. Broadcasting a half hour of world news and features every day on radio. You can also find Special English on television and online at voaspecialenglish.com. For 50 years, helping people understand world events and the language and culture of America.
What is it like to study in the United States, and what do you have to do to get here? The Student Union is VOA's blog that follows students from all over the world as they face challenges and opportunities of studying at American universities. Log on at blogs.voanews.com/student-union.
We continue with International Edition from VOA. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Here's what's happening. Italian rescue teams say six people have been found alive in a hotel buried by an avalanche nearly 2 days ago in the central part of the country. The survivors had yet to be pulled from the snow at last check, but rescuers have been talking with them. Workers dug through the night through deep snow and debris in their search for about 30 missing people, including four children staying at the luxury mountain resort. The avalanche that hit the four-star hotel Rigopiano in the town of Fardinoli Wednesday was likely triggered by a series of strong earthquakes that rattled the central region of Abruzzo earlier in the day. Television footage from the inside of the wrecked hotel showed massive mounds of snow pushing through a hotel wall into the lobby. Officials have now confirmed finding two bodies, while Italian media said two more were located overnight. The only survivors until Friday were two men who were outside the hotel when the avalanche struck. An investigation into the tragedy has been opened by a court in Italy. A U.S. airstrike has killed more than 100 al-Qaeda fighters at a military training camp in Syria. That according to a U.S. defense official in the last major military attack against the terror group under President Barack Obama. A Boeing B-52 strategic bomber targeted the camp Thursday evening local time. It was located west of Aleppo in Idlib province. The camp previously had been occupied by the militant group Jabhat Fateh al-Sham, formerly known as the al-Nusra Front, before al-Qaeda started using it for basic military training. Mexican drug kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman appears in a New York courthouse Friday, facing charges of overseeing a narcotics empire that operated for decades in much of North America. He arrived in New York from Mexico late Thursday and will be arraigned in a 17-count indictment that carries a mandatory life prison term, according to the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, Robert Capers. Capers told reporters today marks a milestone in our pursuit of Chapo Guzman. You've been listening to International Edition. Find us at voanews.com, like us on Facebook at VOA Now, and follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE. Thanks for being with us. Our thanks to Director Patrice Martin, our engineer Justin Thwaites. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy your day and your weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Today, in a ceremony as old as the Republic, President Donald Trump will begin his first term by taking the oath of office. For more than 200 years, this pledge has sealed the transfer of power and the wishes of Americans as expressed every 4 years at the ballot box. It is a hallmark of our democratic system. In taking this oath, the president affirms his loyalty to the U.S. Constitution. Whatever his personal feelings, party loyalty, or religious convictions, he or she is bound to follow the provisions of these fundamental laws. Should a president fail in this duty, he or she, like other government officials, can be impeached and removed from office. From the beginning, the United States has been, in the words of John Adams, the second U.S. president, a government of laws and not of men. By subordinating political power to the rule of law, Americans have ensured the protection of their rights and the survival of their freedom. As President George Washington said at his first inauguration, "The preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered perhaps as deeply and finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people." Inauguration Day is more than the swearing-in of an elected leader. It is a process and a spirit. It is democracy in action.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.